Well, it's seven after. As long as somebody else showed up, let me say, this is N2OEL, operator is K2BAR, taking the Thursday night technical net. Evidently, Gordon is not available. Okay, the format of this net is slightly different from the other nets. We ask for everybody to check in. Even though you may not have a question, we ask you to be in it because you'll be a resource for other people. When you check in, please tell the net control whether you have a question or you have a comment, and we'll call you in rotation. And of course, I miss Gordon. He's so much better at this than I am. He always has his opinion on everything. I had about three questions for him today. I'm so disappointed. Okay, anybody whose call begins with the letter A is an alpha, please call K2BR. Anybody's call begins with WA, WB, WC, WD.
W2CH, Ray and White Plains, good evening. No, none of the above.
Thank you, Ray. Anybody who would have played W?
About a mobile, KC2ORX.
Sure, KC2ORX. Any questions, any comments?
At this time.
Thank you. Robert, anybody with a KA, KB, KC?
KC2NKU, Maryland, White Plains, the YL to Ray, W2CH. No questions, no comments.
Thank you. Hopefully I got it right. KC2, November, Quebec uniform. Is that correct there, Maryland?
No, it's KC2NKU, Kilo Charlie 2, November Kilo uniform, and also my name is spelled M-A-R-Y-L-Y-N. No questions, no comments.
Thank you. Got that. Okay, anybody with a plain K? Anybody with an N call?
This is NS2K. No question at this point.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody I didn't call yet? Jim, if you happen to have Gordon's number, would you like to give him a call and wake him up?
No questions, no comments.
I'm sorry, I doubled with you. Would you please come again?
Time out.
I'll give him a try.
Thank you. The last check-in, I doubled with you. Would you please come again?
K2BAR, K2FAZ.
Okay. Any other check-ins to the net?
Charlie Tango.
Kilo 2, Foxtrot Alpha Zulu. Don't know if I'm making it in. Over Echo Link.
Thank you, KC2FAZ. May I please have your first name? And if you have any questions or comments or...
First name is Tony. And no questions or comments.
Thank you, Tony. We're trying to wake our friend Gordon up by telephone. We resort to antique technology once in a while here.
W2JC, okay.
Thank you, Jim. W2JC, any questions or comments?
I think Gordon mentioned at the meeting on Sunday night that he wasn't going to be able to be here.
Well, I waited a decent 7 minutes and then took the net. One of the few times I've actually been off on 9 o'clock sharp, counting down the seconds, and hit that button at 9 o'clock. Okay, anybody else who hasn't checked into the net yet?
Whiskey 2, Papa, November Echo.
W2PNE, may I please have your first name and any questions or comments? Okay. Well, we seem to have lots of chickens, but no questions. Anybody want to think about the interesting questions or topics?
KF2ID, Ben.
Hi, Ben. Any questions or comments?
I just have a question.
Oh, wonderful. That question is much appreciated. Anybody else who haven't checked in yet?
Did you copy us, sir?
Any? Charlie C. Sierra Quebec, Papa Stewart. No questions? No comments. Over.
I apologize. I don't have my hearing aids. So, and you're a little bit noisy. Would you please repeat your call slowly?
K2BAR. This is Kilo Charlie 2. Sierra Quebec Papa. Stewart. No questions, no comments. Over.
KC2 Sierra Quebec Papa. Thank you. Any other chickens?
Whiskey 2, Papa, November Echo.
You, I have you checked in already. May I please have your first name?
Ted, Texas, Echo, Delaware.
Thank you. I apologize. I won't get my hearing aids back until the 19th. Life is difficult. What can I say? Okay. We have a question from Ben so far. So KF2ID, take the floor.
I have been looking into software-defined radio kits, and so I'd like to get experience of people who have built these kits, of what they like about them. In particular, I'm more interested in the ones that do not use surface mounted pods, because my eyes and because my hands and eyes are gotten on in time, and I not really think I'm equipped to handle things that delicate. So if there are any people who know of software defined radio kits where do not use surface mounted components, and above us the surface mounted components come already installed. So I'd like to know what the experience with them are, and what the support of the company is, and what companies they've used, et cetera, et cetera. This is KF2ID with K2BAR.
Actually, the only one I know is Rachel. And I, of course, bought my software-defined radio pre-built. And the only other one that I know that has the receiver that was pre-built was Jim KDZO, who sent it to Tony, who has been playing with it. And, of course, Jerry. Don't know anybody else that has actually built one. Does anybody else have any comments on software-defined radio kits?
This is K2ZC via Echo Link. Over.
K2ZC, go ahead.
Yes, I've built a number of software-defined kits, starting with the original Fofrock 40, and then I built two of the transceivers, the 20-meter one, 20 and 30-meter one, and the 40 and 80-meter transceiver, which was also a Fofrock. And I built the Fofrock receiver version 9.0. But as far as I know, Every single one of their kits is surface mount devices. There's maybe a few through-hole components, but all the ICs involved are all surface mount, and most of the resistors and capacitors are all surface mount. I don't know of any kits that are 100% through-hole components. So I also have the Plex 1500, which was not a kit that I bought assembled, and I don't think they make a kit. And that's all surface mount components anyway. I opened it up and looked at it, and they're even smaller than the soft rock components. So I don't know. You could probably look around. I'm sure somebody, if you Google software defined kits, you might find somebody that's making one. But I'm not aware of any at the moment. And that's about it. I hope it's some help to you. This is K2ZC, back to net.
Thank you, K2ZC. Does anybody else have any help for our friend Ben?
KF2ID, back again. The gentleman, I saw, sorry, I didn't write his call letters back. Down. You built a number of the kits, I understand, and they're all surface mounted. I want to ask you one thing about the frequency that's the baseband that's fed into the computer. Is that right at the baseband? Do those kits convert the signal directly to the audio levels, or do they put in a lower frequency IF? I've seen it done both ways. I'm curious to which way the soft rock went. KF2ID or K2BAR.
David, K2ZZ, over to you.
It's an audio signal. It's an IQ signal. One is an audio in-phase signal. And then there's a quadrature signal, which is 90 degrees out of phase, and it's fed into your line in on your, or your line in or your mic in on your sound card. Over.
Curious, how does that kit receivers compare to your Plex assembled receiver? Of course, the Plex is a transceiver, I imagine, but how does the kit receiver compare? Of course, the Plex has a wide band, covers everything, but the kits are probably a limited frequency. Okay, that's what I did.
All my receivers would receive 48 kilohertz of the band. Some of the higher kits, and also my my Plex receives 48. So the soft rocks and my Plex 1500, I would say, were equivalent. The Plex is better at image rejection. Of course, it's a much more expensive rig. It was a $600 piece of equipment compared to a $50 piece of equipment. So you get what you pay for, I guess. A lot more engineering went into it. Let's see, it slipped my mind what the second part of the question was. I have more to say and it slipped my mind. Okay, back.
Okay, well, thank you for your information. In any case, this is KF2ID. I was surprised the image rejection was different. I would have thought that the maybe noise level would be different, but the image rejection, I'm surprised, would be different. Maybe it has to do with it. Did they both use the same software, or does the Plex Radio use its own proprietary software?
Plex Radio uses Power SDR, which I had trouble getting my soft rocks to work on that. I was using it on a very simple program, but very effective. It's called Rocky, and it's much simpler than SDR. Tower SDR. Tower SDR has a lot of filters and everything. Rocky is pretty much, you just receive and transmit. Very few filters in it. They're like click and drag filters. You can narrow up a bandwidth. And there's a couple of other WinRAD, I think that's the name of it. That's another good software program for the SDR. I use that effectively too with the version 9. The version 9, I was a good receiver. It would switch bands automatically with that program. I could tune from 160 meters through 10 meters. Or if you elected to skip the 160 meters, you could get 6 meters instead. You just wind different cores. So that's about it. The soft rocks, you can't go wrong on them. They're just experimenting. A couple of guys in the club got the receivers, and I soldered in the ICs for them. I don't think the resistors and the capacitors are that hard to do. So I don't really know if they ever finished them, though. So K2VAR, this is K2ZC.
Okay, K2ZC. Thank you very much for your information. Information on the software is particularly useful. Thank you very much. This is KF2ID with K2VAR and K2ZC.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Ben. Anybody else have any questions or anything interesting?
Comments. This is NS2K.
Go ahead.
I think it's Bruce who's doing a soft rock at the moment. I might have that all wrong, but he's got a kit, and I think it's a soft rock kit that is, I don't know, maybe two-thirds of the way through.
Well, by the way, you have an echo, so maybe you have a receiver out in the background. I presume that we didn't get a hold of our friend Gordon.
Gordon will be along in a little bit. He said he had just gotten out of church, and they were doing some pizza, something. Anyway, he should show up momentarily.
Okay, that's good. Stellum Dominus Pro Viscum Ecum Spiritual. Don't we have his handfest coming up soon?
Not this Saturday, but next Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock for buyers. Of course, it opens up a little earlier for people setting up to sell. And theoretically, it goes until 4, but, I'd say probably closer to noon. But, it's the usual place for him over in Coughlin Hall in Bergenfield by the Catholic Church.
Also, I understand there's a car wash this time, so you can get your car washed while you're getting your hand goodies.
People who appreciate cars with antennas on them.
Well, I expect there will be parents there. Almost every Scouting event, whether it's Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, I went and bought Cub Scout cookies as I was coming out of ShopRite about 2 weeks ago, and there were two girls holding signs and five parents selling cookies. Okay, so what I was going to ask Gordon about is we like to put antenna wires up in the trees. And I intend to go camping with the XYL for a few weeks this summer. I think she wants to go north for a while when the weather's cool, and south when the weather's getting cooler in the fall. We have a small, itty-bitty motor home. And I was thinking the best way to throw up a wire up into a tree in a campground, you don't get a lot of space. You pretty much have to go nearly straight up. So I was looking at ways, and I said, gee, you know, I like Tony's antenna launcher, which is basically a wooden dowel with a nail in it. And, of course, who can forget our friend with the bow and arrow? I didn't do very well with the bow and arrow. I've left a few arrows up the tree. So I was going to use one of those spud guns, air-powered, shooting a tennis ball. And, of course, Jim, K2ZO, and myself and Tony, K2MI, are having a discussion whether we should be using the little dog balls or a full-size tennis ball or what. And I've been thinking the full-size tennis ball only because people would recognize it and wouldn't be afraid of it. Whereupon if you launch a wooden dowel or some other things in a campground, I might get people freaking out. And with the recent event that's in my memory, last October, our friend Tony was over here putting up an antenna for me, and the line broke when he launched this thing, and his little dart went over in the air, cleared the telephone wires on my side of the street, cleared the power wires and the trees on the other side of the street, and he was launching diagonally, not straight across, cleared the house on the other side of the street, and landed in the guy's backyard, only to be found by the landscapers. Luckily it had that red ribbon tied up. And in fact, that's the antenna launching tool that we presented back to Tony at the Bear Christmas party. So anybody have any opinions about whether we should be using wooden dowels, small dog balls, tennis balls, bows and arrows, whatever?
Since you're in a public campground, I would tend to use tennis balls. If tennis balls land on anybody's head, they just bounce right off. But wooden dowel lands on somebody's head, they bounce. I'm sure you watch if nobody's around, but it's possible. It's harmless. It's just a laugh. But if a tennis ball would do it, I would stick to something which is harmless when it lands on somebody's head. KF2ID.
I don't know if you've ever seen a tennis ball come out of one of these air cannons, but when it leaves the muzzle, it's probably doing over 100 miles an hour, probably better than any serve that could be done. So the question is, it's a good idea. I was thinking tennis ball only because of the recognizability and attaching a fishing line to it, by wrapping it around and putting a little bit of glue so I didn't have to punch a hole in it. And that was the discussion we were having back and forth. We were looking at pipe. A tennis ball will fit nicely in a 3-inch pipe. A schedule 80 is a tight fit. 2.5-inch schedule 40. The problem with the schedule 40, when you go into Lowe's or the stores, the only thing you can find is this pipe that's the wall construction seems to be some kind of foam. So I wouldn't want to launch anything with air pressure out of that. The other thing I was going to ask, Gordon, is about these IOTA power supplies. You can buy these things off eBay. Mr. Joyce got one, I think, for $75. And I believe his was 45 amp, and it's like made for RVs, but it's a very, very highly regulated. He's getting, I believe, 20 millivolts ripple when he keys up his 200-watt rig. It was evidently a 20-amp power supply wouldn't handle his rig. He's got two final amplifiers that are put in phase somehow. Anybody got any thoughts about those?
And that's 2K.
Go ahead, Mr. Jim.
Yeah, I know Jim has bought a number of them. He's had at least one, I believe, that was a dud. They're not all, how should I say, as entirely as advertised. But if you do get a good one, they are very good. They're nice and clean and quiet. And very efficient. Even if you draw a fair amount of current, they don't make a whole lot of heat. I think there are a couple of variations, too, yeah, besides just size. There's one that I believe has a battery charge float, additional circuitry. That's not always the, on the thing. There's some that I think you can add that circuitry to. Yeah, if you can find a good one that they really actually say works, it could be a very good deal.
That's good. I just in the process of buying one off of eBay that was allegedly taken from a working radio station about 2 years ago and just sitting there. And the guy originally wanted $30, and he didn't know he didn't get any bidders, so I offered $20, and he said okay, and he put it back on and would have buyer it now. So that's what I'm working on now. I saw the one he brought to the Barron meeting, and I was impressed with it.
Yeah, they seem to be well made and well designed. So, yeah, it's if you can find one that suits your need and actually is not one that's been lightning struck or yeah, whatever happens to them, the reason why they might fail once in a while. But, yeah, if you can get a good one, then it's going to be good. And some of them, I think, you've got that were amazingly inexpensive for what they are.
Well, with shipping, if I luck out, I'm going to pay $37 for a 45-amp power supply, if I luck out. It's a toss-up, I think.
Well, if you luck out, it's a good quality product, so that's good.
Yeah, I was hoping Gordon was going to be here by now. After all, it's 9:38. Does anybody else have any questions, comments, anything?
Well, I can make a comment about something here, I suppose.
Either that or I'll talk to you about my soldering gun.
Hey, you could talk about soldering, I don't know, UHF connectors. No, I don't think so. Anyway, one of the clubs that I'm also involved with is a primarily all belong to ABC, employees. Not entirely, and a lot of retirees. But they've got a nice little machine that's over on what's called the Millennium Building, right next to the ABC property on 66th Street. But it's, I don't know, 70 floors, something like that. It's a good tall building. Anyway, for a long time, it had real serious problems with antenna. The antenna had been lightning struck. Well, we finally replaced it here a couple of months ago. And it's really doing a terrific, terrific job these days. So if anybody gets a chance, was it 14727? I'd have to look to see what the PL is. It's not 141. It's something else. But it's a great machine. Anyway, I had talked a little bit to Gordon about this earlier. We're in the process of linking together a number of the sites on ABC property or other, you know, ABC-sponsored clubs around the country, and it could be an interesting project. It's every one of these repeaters are all internet connected, and the club or the trustee of that radio can easily, you know, break the link whenever they want to do something that, you know, needs to be on a closer in level, or we could selectively link. One of the suggestions is, hang on, let me drop it here. NS2K. One of the suggestions that I've had, where for the New York Marathon, for instance, we do from fairly north in the city to way south in the city, and it's hard to get, there is no machine that will do the whole thing really effectively. Well, you could easily link a couple of machines. In any case, hang on. Oh, not still working. Good. But, it's going to offer some possibilities. We've already got links that are been tested into Florida and into Connecticut. And I think L.A. is coming soon. So it's kind of good. It was also very nice of ABC to provide the internet or private network backbone. Very cooperative sometimes. And it's NS2K.
Oh, neat. That sounds great. I had a soldering gun that wouldn't work because I can't get tips for it. Evidently, the soldering gun was new in 1960. I just built the tip using two connectors made for butt spicing some heavy wires up, like up to 4-gauge, available from Home Depot, two for $5.16. And I bought 6 inches of number 6 bare copper wire, and then I took, had some pieces of house wiring, a piece of number 12 wire, used the pieces of copper wire to go into the soldering gun, used the connectors to connect the number 12 copper wire, and that'll be my tip. And I haven't fired it up yet, but I'm hoping that the resistance to that little loop of 12-gauge copper wire will be sufficient to heat up and be like a soldering tip.
I stand corrected. Yeah, 14727, and it is 141.3, and W2ABC repeat. But, obviously, if anybody would like to get on at some point, there's not a whole lot of traffic there, but people are certainly welcome.
Okay. Will I be able to reach it easily from here, Jim?
You should be. I know I can get it from my HT here, so you ought to be able to get it from home.
Is it mostly WABC people on that repeater, or anybody else besides you and our glorious leader?
Well, it's not so much. Well, I mean, there are some WABC people there. It's ABC, Disney. You'll find some people from CBS and various other places. Mostly broadcast types, but more engineering types than how should I say, partisan partisan employees. Anyway, but ham enthusiasts. We used to have a whole lot of them when we had an RF department that did a lot of stuff for sports. Well, unfortunately, that's no longer true. We hire all that out, so most of those guys are either retired or scattered elsewhere inside the company. But a few of them are still about. In any case, let me give it back here. NS2K.
Hey, anybody else got anything? Because otherwise I'll just close the net and hang around here to chat.
This is KD2BWK. I'm not part of the net, but I'm just testing my signal. I would like to have a confirmation.
So there's no noise on your single. This is N2OEL. Operator is K2BR. The net control for the Burton County Technical Net, which normally is run by Gordon, but he's unavailable at this moment.
Connected KD2ACTK2ZC. Disconnected.
K2VAR KTFAZ.
Go ahead, Tony.
Well, it's good to hear from you again, Noel. Over Echo Link here in New Mexico, and I do have a question. I hooked up my IC7000 to, I guess it's what a CB, was it a 12 meter big stick antenna. What kind of frequencies can I expect, or bands can I expect to use that for? I do have a tuner, but obviously I probably have a lot of loss.
That's not a question that I would even attempt to answer. Usually I would refer that to our friend Gordon W2DTT or Jim K2ZO. Does anybody wish to pontificate on this particular question?
And that's true, okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
I did have that same general setup on my the CRV at one point using the SGC, what is it, 270, I don't remember, but they're smaller weatherproof tuner, and with an 11 meter whip mounted to the back of the car, and it actually worked. 40 meters through 10 worked fine. If I wanted to work 6 meters, what I did is I had another smaller whip. The full-size whip tended to be way too inductive to be tuned. So I had another smaller whip that I would put on it if I wanted to do, say, the 6 for the VHF contest or something like that. But while it would tune here and there in 80, you weren't going to get a real good performance. 40 did okay. And it's okay.
Tony, over to you.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've been out here for a year and just got that my antenna, my VHF antenna put up, and I said, hey, you know, I have that 11-meter antenna. Let me put that up on top. And I went ahead and did that, and I was trying to work with a little Jeff the other night. I'm at about 5,500 feet here, so I don't really need a tall antenna. And wasn't able to make any contacts, but I'll give it another try. But at least I know 40 down to 10 is the range I should be looking to work. Thank you very much, Ennis.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, I'm going to say 73, everybody, and officially close the technical net. And, of course, we can hang around here and chat if anybody wants to. This is N2OEL, operators K2BAR, saying good evening.
I've got one other little reminder. On September 11th, I'm sorry, September, God forbid, April 11th, next Wednesday at 7 p.m., there's a VE session at ABC. If somebody wanted to do that, you know, give me a ring, either at work or on my cell or on the radio, and we can arrange for entrance to the building. Normally it's pretty tightly controlled, but if somebody wanted to take a test, we could make it happen. It's a little bit unusual time, but it could work for somebody. Anyway, more than welcome. MS2K.
What the FCC's got to do is invent another license class above extra. There's getting to be too many.
Well, we had a test a couple months ago, and we had, I don't know, four or five applicants, and I think most of them did pretty good. I think they were a little bit lighter this time around. I don't know how many people they've got taking the test or any test, but if we had some people, I'm sure we could make the testing work.
So for next week, I've got a good question for Gordon. I'm going to ask him if it's possible to make a linear loaded antenna using 450 ohm antenna line. It's always fun to ask him questions.
Yeah, a 450, 400 ohm line makes good antenna material.
Yeah, but my question was going to be, say, had a portable antenna, had a feed point 15 foot above the ground, and you wanted to use it on, what frequency is 33 foot? Is that 20 meters? And so the antenna, the downward part would be dragging on the ground. What happens if you took 450 ohm, went down, short at the far end, and then brought it back up? Would that act as linear loading?
I'm not real thrilled with. Anyway, there are lots of ways to make folded antennas and otherwise shortened and perhaps even broader band than you would normally expect devices. Look in your wire book. You'll find all kinds of suggestions. NS2K.
Oh, book. That reminds me. When you get done with your book, I'll trade you mine to read. I got volume 3 antennas by the person who has a real problem with every maker of antennas. I believe Jim gave you one of the series and I got the other.
Yeah, I've got one of them. I'll have to look to see which one it is.
Anyways, I opened it at random and started leaving. This gentleman has a lot of suppressed hatred.
There are a lot of pretty sleazy manufacturers out there too. So anyway, you'll find some good ones, and you'll find some that they stretch the performance figures even more than they do the wire. Anyway, and that's too gay.
This is KD2BWK. And I was listening to the conversation. You guys definitely had an interesting technical conversation. I have more of a question related to, I guess it's not as technical, it's just more of a practical question. Would you mind if I ask it?
Go ahead, Mihail.
So basically, it's a two-part question. The first part is I'm using the SO239 type cable to run to VHF, UHF. The cable is fairly flexible, and from what I'm reading on the net, a lot of people are suggesting to use like solid core cable. Does anyone have any experience with solid core versus I guess this SO239 non-solid core or threaded cable, I guess?
Yeah, that's okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, there are several different kinds of coax, even in the same size. And the performance will vary widely. It's less important whether the center core is stranded or solid. Obviously, the flexibility of the cable makes a big difference if it's stranded or solid. What will make a whole lot more difference is the dielectric between the center and the shield. Foam dielectric will have way less loss at higher frequency, we'll say 10 meters and up. But it's also more delicate. It's more easily crushed. Where solid dielectric, which is normally like a PVC type material, is pretty tough, but it can be very lossy at higher frequencies. You would never use a solid dielectric at, say, 2 meters or 440. It's just way too lossy if you have any distance at all. Then you can get into the more elaborate stuff using Teflon and, you know, other more exotic materials. Sometimes you can even find coax with silver-plated shields and silver-plated center conductor. Those get pretty exotic, but they tend to be, you know, much lower loss again. But again, unless you can find some military surplus or, you know, something that you're not paying a real price for, it gets ridiculously expensive. So, yeah, it depends on what you do. NS2K, what's your application?
Well, I'm a new ham. This is actually my second QSO. I'm just using it to basically to test out communications between repeaters and hopefully make some contacts.
Okay, so you're using it on VHF and UHF, 2 meters and 440, at which point you almost certainly want to use a foam core coax. Let's see. On the smaller side, you can do, what is it, an RG8X, I think, is one of the sizes. There are a whole bunch of different ones, and you really have to, you know which one is what. That's a real pain in the neck. But an 8X is one of the viable ones. If you're using the full size, there's a foam RG8. That stuff's like a half inch in diameter. That's lower loss again, but again, it's kind of big. You wouldn't want to use it on an HD or, you know, anything that needs to be portable. The 8X is a whole lot smaller. Again, I wouldn't run a great long length of it, but the foam core won't treat you too badly at 2 meters.
So the other part of the question that I had was I overheard on another TechNet where this guy was explaining that even though the standard cable solid core wire that they use for cable television, he stated that even though it's not the right ohm to match, it's not 50 ohms for standard transceivers, he did state that there was a way to actually use that cable with standard transceivers. And unfortunately, I didn't hear the entire conversation, so I'm not really sure what the method would be to do that.
So, I think the battery finally gave up, NS2K. But, yeah, that's more a question for W2TTT or K2ZO. But I think Jim would say that on HF, it really doesn't make all that much difference if you use 50 or 75 ohm wire. The impedance match is only very, very approximate anyway. The antenna impedance is going to vary tremendously over the usable range of frequency. So whether it's 50 or 75, it probably doesn't make all that much difference. Am I transmitting here? Am I actually getting it? Is it okay?
Yes, you're starting to start talking, however. It starts dying after the first few words, so I think your battery's gone.
Okay, is this any better here? This should do a little bit better. I'm on the real radio.
Much better. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Yeah. For HF, I think you'll find in almost all cases the antenna impedance is only sort of 50 ohms, sort of sometimes. So if you use 75 or 50 ohm wire, it doesn't make that much difference. The cable TV wire is almost always foam core, solid center conductor. It's 75 ohm. And then they'll use a double shield or a quad shield. They'll have both the foil and a braid. So the shielding on it is really good, although most of it is, how should I say, cheaply made. It doesn't bend all that much. You bend it a few hundred times and the foil will start to crack, and that's not so good. But at least we typically, at work, we use a tremendous amount of double shielded wire, but again, we put it in and it stays there and doesn't move for years at a time. So the fact that you can only bend it a few hundred times isn't a problem. If you have another application, okay, that can be more of a problem. NS2K.
This is Noel. What I did is for my antenna that swings around in the breeze, I went to Gene, K2JI. K2KJI. Anyways, I bought some very nice RG8X foam shielded. It's nice and flexible and relatively small, and I have it hanging from my Carolina window. For my beam on the roof, I happen to have bought some LMR 400, and it goes up close to where the beam is, but it's still inside the attic. And at that point, I transitioned to something called Davis Berryflex. Davis Berryflex is one of the few coaxes that you can safely bury. It also is very flexible. So you wrap it around a couple times up there, and even though you rotate the beam all the time, it has a really good resistance, because I have a couple coils of it around the... And, of course, the LMR 400, you don't bend that much. It's got, what, 13-gauge steel core, copper-coated, I think. Maybe it's aluminum core, copper-coated. Anyways, don't really easily make connectors for it. So I bought mine in pre-made length. Probably somebody took it off, probably from the phone, one of the cell phone companies. Somebody had some length. I actually bought 10 75-footers, 450s, and sold most of them at Hamfest, but I put the rest of them up there myself. So I have a reasonably good cable. It actually has about the same specifications as 9913. It's one of the better ones for UHF. I also have that on my 2-meter 440 radio. Of course, I got carried away. I was on the Racy's net, and that was all direct from station to station, and I'm down in this hole. So I put up this antenna that I also bought from K2KJI, which is 18 foot tall, supposedly has a gain of 12 dB approximately on 440, approximately 9 dB on 2 meters. Anyways, when I talk on these repeaters, I run low power.
Back to you, Mihail.
The question I have is about the connectors. Now, you know how I mentioned earlier, you know, I'm interested in trying out, let's say, a different wire. The problem with the connectors for the SO239 and I guess PL259, I think it is that, you know, the connectors are hard to find and they're very expensive, in my opinion. Do you think that, I mean, or do you know of anyone that converts their radio's input connector to another connector that is not expensive so they can run cables with non-standard connectors?
That's okay.
LMR 400 uses type N connectors. So in order to hook it up to a radio, I have a PL259 that screws into the back of the radio, converts that to a type N female, and so I'm actually converting it right at the radio, and most of my wiring is type N on the VHF and UHF. My HF, I got a mishmash, and only because some of the switches I got were type N, and some of the switches I got were type DL259. So you go on eBay, seeing that I'm one of the world's worst solderers. I can do the tip of a connector, but boy, I cannot do that briar braid. They now have compression fit connectors that I'll use for RG58, LMR400, RG8X. You can get them in type N. You get them in PL259 and PTL259 right angle connectors. Very well made. I'm paying an average of $2.60 a piece for any of these connectors. And what else did I get? I got a couple type N female for a couple of my connections. So eBay, the prices are decent. With shipping and everything, if you're buying in lots of 8 or 10, you can get less than $3 a piece. In fact, what you do is if somebody is out with shipping for 3 1/4 a piece, you say, hey, I'd like to buy 10. How much is it? Can you put up a buy it now for me? Do it, and I got one that I was thinking about. I got 10 of them for $26. Buy it now. So that's $2.60 a piece. And they're really, really quality. Tony K2AMI just got some of them, too. And I believe Jim and his 2K, who's on the net with us, or who's on the, where the net has ended, when Jim K2ZO brought up the kit night, probably saw a couple of them. Jim and his 2K, over to you.
Any normal, well, full-size radio will almost always be UHF. Some of the more esoteric stuff will be type N. You wouldn't normally, hams wouldn't use N except at, say, UHF or above, typically. It's a lot more expensive connector. The other connector you see on handhelds is an SMA connector, a little tiny thing. Once in a while you'll find a BNC connector, but none of these connectors is inexpensive. Probably the cheapest one around is PL259. The only less expensive one you're going to find that's an RF connector is an F connector, and you'll never see that on a transmitter, only ever on a receiver. I don't think you'd want to use a whole lot of power in an F connector. It would not do well. If you have the ability to come to kit night on Tuesday night, and let somebody know, people will come along and they'll have the kits and, the connectors, and if you've got wire, that would be great. If somebody else needs to bring wire, that's okay too. And the soldering stuff. Part of the trick in, soldering the UHF connectors is to have something that you can throw a lot of heat. The body of the thing takes a lot of heat to actually solder well. And that's almost certainly Noel's problem, is he doesn't have anything that will pass enough heat to heat it up quickly, let the solder flow without melting the plastic. It's a delicate balance. But someone like Jimmy is a master at that, and he would love to demonstrate it. So Tuesday night would be a great thing to try to do. NS2K.
I brought my soldering tools, and whenever I need to get wires soldered, I bring it to kit night, and Jim K2ZO shows how it's done with my soldering gun. He does a very wonderful job. However, now that I have the compression fittings, where you slide it, you cut the shield right off, and the only thing that's left taken out is the center conductor, and you slide this little conductor. It's it's round, and it's like a washer with a sleeve on it. Slides up in, makes the connection to the raid in the shield, and then you solder only the tip. And as I said, $3 or less on eBay. And then you turn that down.